We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Are you caring for an aging parent? Are you searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources, helping you become the best caregiver you can be. I'm your host, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. Thanks for tuning in today. You are appreciated. As always, if you have a question, you can visit us online at Senior Care Live. That's L-I-V-E, seniorcarelive.com, or call 1-800-331-6445.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention please. This is a consumer alert. Consumer alert.
Okay, so I'm going to paint a picture for you today that's just very, very commonplace. So your mom is living at home independently, but now she could use some hands-on care. And rather than hire a home care company to help out, you quit your job. You're the daughter. You quit your job to provide her care and to help her. And, you know, your mom feels bad because you had to quit your job, and she offers to pay you for the care that you provide. And you're not really wanting the money, but you need the money to pay your own expenses because, you know, you still have a car payment and taxes and insurance and your own home expenses, etc. So you reluctantly agree to accept her payment for the caregiving services that you're providing. So you go to your mom's house and you stay there for several hours per day, and you help her get dressed, you help her to and from the bathroom, you help with her with taking her shower, you know, a few times a week, and you do some light housekeeping, you make some meals, and you may even run some errands with her to pick up groceries and medicine at the pharmacy, and you take her to and from her doctor's appointments because she can't always remember what the doctor says, so you're there with her for those appointments as well. Now, your mom pays you $15 per hour, and this saves her $5 to $10 an hour when compared to hiring a home care company. There's nothing wrong with hiring a home care company, but she's going to save a little bit of money, and it provides you with an income to help you pay your bills and expenses. All right, so over a month, this averages to about $3,500 a month or $42,000 per year. And this works out well. She can remain at home and age in place, and you have an income. And let me say, no one can provide care for her like you can. So this is a win-win situation. And you're able to have this arrangement for the following 2 years. But now she's declined to the point where she's going to require 24-hour care. And it's time to move to an assisted living community. So you find a great assisted living community, and they're providing excellent care for your mother. And she's getting 24-hour care. She's able to stay there for another year, and then she experiences an unexpected health issue, and now she needs long-term care level of care. It's also known as a nursing home. So she moves to a long-term care community where she receives 24-hour per day medical care by highly trained and qualified staff. And they're doing a good job providing a high level of care for her. However, it's getting pretty expensive, and mom is starting to run out of money. You're very concerned about that. And eventually, over the next 12 months, mom runs out of money and qualifies for Medicaid. Now, this is where we get into a major, major issue. So when qualifying for Medicaid, the state looks back 5 years to see if you made any gifts. And I'm putting air quotes around the word gift. Okay, so a gift can be cash. It could be birthday or holiday gifts. It could be selling an item for below market value. It could be the transfer of property. There are lots of examples of what a gift is. Now, the state asks about all of the checks that you wrote to your daughter, because you were just writing her a check, sometimes gave her cash. And you explain that she quit her job to take care of you, and you pay her in cash, or you write her checks. And this is for legitimate hands-on care that your daughter provided for you. Now, this is what they will ask you. Well, ma'am, do you have a care contract? And you're like, wait a minute, what? What was that? They said, a care contract. And you're like, no, what is a care contract? And they go on to explain that if you pay an individual for care, even if that person is your family member, and in this example, your daughter, you must have a care contract in place. Now, a care contract is essentially an employment agreement, is what it is. So, you know, you provide, you know, A, B, and C, and I pay you, you know, X dollars for the care that you provide. So it's just all above board, an employment agreement, essentially. So they go on to explain that without a care contract in place, all of the money paid out that you paid to your daughter for legitimate care is considered a gift. Now, I totally disagree with it, but this is the law. And I hate this part of the law. I think there should be some exceptions, but the bottom line is this is the law. And unfortunately, there have been other people in the past who have tried to shelter some of their money by paying their kids to, and I'm going to put air quotes, provide care for them, wink, wink, nod, nod, when in fact the kids did not provide care whatsoever. That's just a way to kind of shift some cash to the kids, keep it in the family. And by the way, that's you can't do that. All right, so when people act badly, it makes everyone else pay the price. So because of previous issues like this one, the state just assumes you're guilty before proven innocent. They just assume everyone is trying to pull a fast one, and they make you prove that you are actually and truly paying for real care. Now, the Medicaid gift penalty, so Medicaid has a gifting penalty. They look back 5 years, and they have a gifting penalty of, I'm going to round it off to easy math, $6,000. It's just a little bit more than that. It's different in each state, but $6,000. So meaning for every $6,000 you made in a gift, the state will not pay for your nursing home costs for 1 month. So for example, if you made a $30,000 gift, take $30,000 divided by $6,000, the answer is 5. Therefore, the state will not pay for your nursing home care for 5 months. And then at that point, the gift is considered paid back or cured. Then they'll pay the cost from the 6 month moving forward, right? So that's how a gift is basically paid back. So the issue is, who will pay for the nursing home costs for that 5 month penalty period? Who's going to do it? You don't have any money left, so who's going to pay it? In this case that I just laid out, the penalty would be 14 months, meaning because you did not have a care contract, the state will not pay for your nursing home costs for the next 14 months. Then they will begin to pay on month 15. So again, the question is, you are now out of money. who in your family or who on earth will pay, you know, $7,500 a month for the next 14 months to take care of that gifting penalty? And the answer is there usually no one can do that. And in this case, that money was paid to a daughter providing legitimate care. They just didn't know about this whole care contract issue. Now, if you don't need Medicaid, within 5 years of the last payment, then it's not a problem. But a lot of people do, and it is a major problem. This is a huge, major, major issue. So if this got your attention and you want to get a properly drafted care contract in place, and this has to be written per the laws in your state, Kansas, Missouri, or any state in the country, you must contact an elder law attorney immediately. And I mean right now, right? It is worth every single penny that you will pay them for their expertise. And I promise you, you're not going to be able to go out and just Google, you know, care contract and download a cheapo generic contract, you know, for $19.95. You need to get this taken care of properly because it could come back to haunt you. It's worth every single penny you will pay them for their expertise. And also, a good elder law attorney may be able to help you minimize that gifting penalty if you've already provided care for a certain period of time without a care contract. So here's the bottom line. Seek expert advice from an experienced elder law attorney absolutely immediately.
Proceed with caution. This has been a Consumer Alert brought to you by Senior Care Live.
All right, now the Senior Care Live question of the week. When providing care for your family member or receiving care from a family member, like the story I just shared, the following must be paid: A, federal and state income taxes on the caregiver's income; B, payroll taxes on the caregiver's income; C, the care recipient must pay all employer-based payroll taxes; D, all of the above; or E, none of the above. The answer coming up next. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to seniorcarelive.com. And don't forget, you can stream the program to any electronic device at seniorcarelive.com and through the app radio.com. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week, and this all ties in together, doesn't it? When providing care for your family member or receiving care from a family member, like the story I shared in the first segment at the top of the program, the following must be paid: A, federal and state income taxes on the caregiver's income; B, payroll taxes on the caregiver's income; C, the care recipient is responsible to pay all employer-based payroll taxes; D, all of the above; or E, none of the above. And the answer is D, all of the above. All of the above. And how many people realize that, you know, you quit your job, you're just trying to keep your mom at home, that she wants to stay home, she doesn't want to, you know, hire a home care company, and so she's paying you a little bit, a fair amount, to help her with her care. How many realized it could cause so many issues? I promise you, most people are just jumping into action. They're loving on and caring for their elderly parents, and they don't think anything about this stuff. And that's why I bring it up, because, you know, just major, major issues there. So one, we talked about, you know, needing a care contract to avoid Medicaid penalties should you need Medicaid to move into a nursing home in the next 5 years. And then the other issue is an issue on taxes. So you will owe taxes no matter what. Now, that's if you choose to report your earnings. I would suggest that you do all of this above board and do it properly and do it legally. If you choose not to report that, then you know, maybe you'll get away with it, maybe you won't. But what kind of encouraged me to think about this and then run this report in Consumer Alert is earlier in the week I saw a commercial and they were talking about paying nanny taxes. Now this is taxes for hiring a caregiver to take care of your kids, but it's the same concept. You're paying someone for care, and they were saying that their big alert on this commercial, very well done commercial, was that if you receive over $100 per week, then you owe taxes. And it's a service called HomePay, and they can help you track that and pay taxes. I suppose you could do a W-9, an independent contractor. I would talk to your accountant, your tax preparer about that. And so the bottom line is, you're going to owe some taxes on that if you do this properly. And as always, of course, I suggest that you do handle this properly. So, this is why so many people hire a home care company. And a home care company is a service, a company that sends in caregivers into your home, and they provide non-medical in-home assistance. And so they can help you with, getting dressed and helping you, in and out of the shower, and they can help you with your grooming and making meals for you, some light housekeeping. They can run errands for you or with you. They can take you to social appointments, donuts with the guys Friday morning, or take you to get your hair done, take you to church, run out and get groceries with you, pick up medications. They're just helping you do all of those the senior care industry calls activities of daily living. So they can help out a lot. They're just tremendously helpful, and they can help keep you in your home for maybe years to come. So to compare this with home health care, this past week I had a Zoom consultation with a really nice couple. And she kept saying home health care and Medicare and all this kind of stuff. Home care is different than home health care. Home health care is paid for by Medicare, and you can hire a Medicare certified home health agency to send out a nurse or a physical therapist, occupational therapist, speech therapist to come to your home on a per visit basis, usually anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes, maybe an hour long visit, maybe once or twice, possibly three times a week, to help you out with some medical situation or need in your home. Now that's different. Home care is not a nurse. It's not paid for by Medicare. It's paid for out of pocket, and they can help you in your home with non-medical in-home assistance. And it's a wildly popular service. There is a cost, obviously. In our area, I would say that it's going to average somewhere between, this is kind of right down the middle, it could be a little less, it definitely could be more, but somewhere between $20 to $25 per hour. And some people said, oh gosh, that seems a little expensive. Well, just think about this. You might be able to have someone come in maybe 4 hours a day, two or three times a week to help out. And maybe that's just enough for you. Maybe you don't need, 24 hours a day or 8 or 10 or 12 hours per day. Maybe you just need a little bit, a few days, two, 3 days a week. And maybe that's the difference between staying at home or moving to a community. And obviously, there's nothing wrong with moving to a community. But if you're not ready for that, or maybe you just don't want to, you would prefer to stay home, you can do that. It's a very cost-effective way to help accomplish that goal. Now, I also wanted to offer, and I haven't offered this in a long time, but again, working with some clients, and their parents are home. And she said, look, I need to screen and call some home care companies, and I would like to interview, maybe two or three of them. And then I'm going to choose one to help my parents in their home. They would like to try to stay there a little bit longer. And then at the same time, they're working with me and my firm, Senior Care Consulting, and we're going to proactively search for some senior care communities that have two levels of care, assisted living. So once they're ready to move from their home, they're going to need the assisted living level of care, and they want it connected to long-term care. So these communities need to have both assisted living and long-term care so that her parents can then age in place and not have to move again. So we've put together this whole plan of bringing in home care into their home so that they can stay there for the next, you know, maybe 3 to 6 months. Maybe this gets them to the springtime and out of the crummy weather over the wintertime. And maybe COVID is less of an issue in the springtime. And then at that point, then we're going to pull the trigger. We're going to move from home to this assisted living community. And then at that point, they can age in place. So she said, do you know of some home care providers? So I gave her the name of two or three excellent home care providers. And then I sent her a free home care screening tool. And this is a list of a lot of questions that you can use to ask the home care companies that you are basically interviewing before you choose one. So I would like to offer this to all of our listeners free of charge. Just give us a call at 1-800-331-6445. Leave us your name and your email address, and I'll be happy to email you our free home care screening tool, totally free of charge. Just call and we'll send one out to you. We're going to have a whole lot more coming up right away.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to seniorcarelive.com. And don't forget to check out our podcasts of every recent episode of this program. How about that? All right, so we're talking about screening home care companies. And again, if you want your very own list of screening questions, the home care screening tool, feel free to give us a call, 1-800-331-6445. Or you could also send an email or just go to the website, seniorcarelive.com, and just request one of those free of charge. Need your name, your email address, and we'll email that out to you. It's just a bunch of questions standardized so that you can ask each home care provider the same questions, and then this will help you determine which provider you're most comfortable with. It's a really valuable tool, and again, I'm offering that free of charge to anyone who would like a copy of that. All right, so if you're wanting to stay home, another thing that you can do, and I have to say I don't recommend this at all, for lots of reasons and lots of stories that I don't have enough time to share all of them. I might share one. But you can hire an individual. And, you know, I've heard of people, I think this is pure insanity, but I've heard of people putting an ad in Craigslist. Don't do that. That's a terrible idea. Seriously, I would never do that. But some people do it. You can hire a friend of a friend, someone who used to care for someone you know. You can hire an individual and pay them, you know, X dollars, whatever it is. But in my opinion, I just think you're taking a giant, unnecessary risk. So what if they don't show up? I mean, they're just some person you hired. You don't know them. They come to work for a few days and you're really counting on them because you have your own doctor's appointments, or you have to go to the tax preparer, or you have something just really important that you need to take care of and you're waiting on the caregiver and, oh, well, they're not here. You give them 10 minutes. Maybe there's car trouble. You give them a half an hour. I wonder if they're showing up. And it's just no call, no show. They just literally don't show up. What are you going to do? Leaves you in a major, major potential negative situation there. What if they steal something from you? And it happens all the time. This is extremely common. They're in your house, and what if they steal something from you or your parent? Maybe you've hired someone, and they're in your parent's home, and they're taking care of them. And then the next day you realize, ooh, mother's ring is gone. Where did that go? Mother's valuable family heirloom of a pearl necklace, or something that's just sentimental value. You know, dad's purple heart is gone and you can't replace that. What if someone steals something from you? What are you going to do about it? This is a handshake, cash kind of an arrangement. What are you going to do? What is your recourse? Now, I heard the story. This was directly from a home care company owner. So she owned the company. She called and she said, Steve, did you see the news? And I said, I did not. And she said, go look it up online. And the story is online, but I watched it last night on the 10 o'clock news. She said, I knew this guy from somewhere. And then it hit me. Oh my goodness, I talked to him about a year ago about our agency, our company providing care for his mother in her home. And he called me back and said, hey, I think you're too expensive. I'm just going to hire an individual and save some money. So she said, okay, all right, that's fine. What is she going to do? He had his mind made up. So this man was on the local 10 o'clock news, and he was interviewed, and he said he went to see his mother, and she just seemed out of sorts. She was very debilitated. She could not speak. She could not communicate, but she could see, and she understood everything. She was sharp. She could not talk. She could not communicate. So he said, just something was off. And this he hired a lady, just an individual, and she was caring for his mom for about a year. He said, so I decided to put some cameras in the house just to see what was going on. He fully trusted this lady. She made a great impression, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think you see where this is going. So he's watching the video camera, and he sees the caregiver coming up from the basement and walking into his mom wearing her shirt. And he's like, well, wait a minute. How does she have a top like that? That's one of mother's favorite tops that she likes to wear. She had gone down to the basement and just decided, oh, well, this is mine now, and took her top and put it on. What is far worse than that is she came up from out of the basement and went over to this sweet lady who depends on her for care, who cannot tell anyone, who can't communicate, but she understands thoroughly. And she said, ooh, I like your top. I think I'll keep it. Can you imagine how upset this lady was? She understood this caregiver just stole her clothing. And now not only did she do that, but she's wearing it and kind of taunting this little lady who cannot speak for herself. So the son saw that. He also, the elderly lady receiving care, she was extremely upset, very, very upset, but couldn't communicate. He also saw the caregiver had stolen some other things, including cash. She had written some checks and somehow got his mom to sign them. And then, of course, she cashed them, kept the money for herself. She did steal some jewelry, and she ended up stealing like $10,000 or $15,000 worth of cash and stuff from this lady. So he had a fully documented case, and then he took it to the police. And then the next day, when she shows up to be her caregiver, boom, they nabbed her. He had the video evidence, and they charged this lady with lots and lots of felonies: elder abuse, elder financial abuse, felony theft, check, something to do with, she didn't forge the check, but she forced the lady to sign the check, and then she kept the money. So about 15 years of prison time is what this lady got for that. And then she ended up confessing to it. And then she said that she's done this her entire career. That was just the first time she got caught. So what if the person that you hired steals something from you? That's a problem. What if they leave you and file for unemployment? I've heard stories of a caregiver, specifically it provided care for a couple. After about a year, they had a falling out. She left, filed for unemployment. They said, well, what have you been doing for this last year? We don't have any records. Oh, I've been working for Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and they pay me, X dollars per hour in cash. And they said, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, what's their address? Do you have their phone number? And tax officials, knock, 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 knock. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, you owe taxes, payroll taxes, and employer-based taxes for the last year in the amount of, X dollars. So all of a sudden, their bargain turned out to be a nightmare. What if this individual person that you hired to help you in your home, what if they injure themselves on your property? What if they fall down the stairs and break their arm or crack their head open out on the sidewalk, or there's an injury? Is your homeowner's insurance going to pay for that? Because your homeowner's insurance would normally pay for that, but now you are an employer and they are an employee. So do you have business liability insurance? Because let me tell you, that's no guarantee that your homeowner's insurance is going to pay that claim. That's not something that you should risk at that point. It may pay it, but there's a good chance that if they know the full situation, the full circumstances, that they may reject that claim. And now you have tens of thousands of dollars of medical and surgical costs, and they could sue you for their injury and everything else. So if you hire a home care company, you're going to pay them another $5 an hour, or maybe even a little more than that. But if the caregiver doesn't show up, the home care company provides a backup. So they will take care of you. If they steal something from you, okay, the home care company has the liability insurance and the bonding, and they'll take care of that. If they pay all of the employer-based taxes, you don't have to worry about that. And if the staff or the caregiving staff, if they injure themselves on your property, the home care company has, again, they are insured to take care of that. So guess what? You're not really saving $5 an hour or $8 an hour. You're costing yourself money. It's a much, much better idea to hire a reputable, experienced home care provider to provide home care in your home. I would never hire an individual, but if you do, proceed at your own risk. And I'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit seniorcarelive.com. All right, so as discussed in the story at the top of the program, at some point, the daughter's mother needed 24-hour care, and the daughter was not able to provide that much help. She just wasn't able to do it. She still has, you know, family and kids at home and all that stuff. So let's shift gears and talk about, when do you consider moving from your home to a senior care community? And in fact, this is the most frequently asked question that I've answered over the last 18 years since 2002. Steve, we don't want to move too early. We don't want to wait too late. When should we move? So I would say, you know, sometimes it's pretty obvious. So for this daughter, she was not able to keep up with the increasing demand of providing care for her mom, because that really increased up to a level of 24 hours per day, and she couldn't meet that need. Sometimes there is a healthcare crisis, like someone has a stroke or a heart attack or falls and fractures a hip, and all of a sudden, boom, we have a game changer. And it changes overnight. So sometimes it's pretty obvious, but usually it is not that obvious. And I like to say that usually there could be a lot of gray area in there, and you're kind of twisting and turning, and oh gosh, I don't know, what should we do? What should we do? So I like to say that the following things should trigger that conversation of considering moving from your home to a senior care community. And number one is when we have a safety issue involved at home, when it's no longer safe to live at home. And someone could fall victim to financial abuse. Elder financial abuse is real. It is grotesque and disgusting. I'll never understand it, but you see about it and you hear about it every day. And it's so common. It's just horrible. And unfortunately, it's not reported nearly enough. But elder financial abuse, another common one, leaving your stovetop burners on. And that's an easy one to take care of, but it has to happen before you're aware of it to address it. So that's a major, major safety issue, especially if your loved one has a gas stovetop burner. So they have a gas stovetop and oven. So that's even more dangerous than an electric one. Now, you can turn off the power or the gas to the oven and into the stovetop and take care of it that way, but that is a major safety issue. Another one is wandering away and not finding your way back home. That is related to Alzheimer's and dementia and cognitive decline, and that often triggers a silver alert. And that is someone who is, you know, over 65, and they've driven somewhere and they got lost. You know, my grandpa lived in Topeka with grandma, and he was going to drive somewhere and come home. Well, he ended up clear over in Lawrence and lost his way. And now, they didn't have silver alerts back then. Today, that would have triggered a silver alert. So I was able to find him and I got him back home and all that. But sometimes these silver alerts, more often than not, it has a happy ending. Everything's okay. Sometimes they have tragic endings. So if your loved one is wandering away or walking out of the building or out of the house, and they're not going to find their way back home, and worse yet, they drive off and driving the wrong way down the street, et cetera, et cetera, this is a gigantic safety issue, and you have to address that immediately. Some that are maybe not quite as at the surface, maybe they're under the surface and not quite... as a parent, not taking your medications properly. Sometimes someone will not take them at all, or maybe they'll take 2 days worth of a blood pressure medication at once. That's a safety issue. And then injured at home, frequent falls, frequent hospitalizations, all of those would fall into that category of when it is no longer safe to live at home, then it's time to have that. That should trigger the discussion of considering moving to your home from your home to a senior care community. All right, number two, I would call this a very close second, maybe a 1A. When the health and well-being of the caregiver begins to decline. I'm going to say that again, because I think that caught your attention. A lot of listeners right now are very aware that their mom's caring for their dad and she's getting tired. Or I've worked with lots of clients recently where dad's caring for mom and dad is completely worn out. Dad hasn't seen the doctor for the last 2 years and he has his own medical issues that he's ignoring, and that is starting to cause him some problems. When the health and well-being of the caregiver is in decline, you must have that conversation. That cannot go on very long at all. We're talking about your emotional health, your mental health, your spiritual health, and of course, your physical health. So stress is an extremely powerful force. Unfortunately, I've seen this so many times where the crushing pressure and stress on the caregiver is so much that it causes them to pass away before the person they're caring for. They'll have a stroke, they'll have an unexpected heart attack, and they're done. And now you've just defeated the purpose, because this person that you love so much and you care for and you literally put everything else aside to care for this person that you love so much to make sure they got everything they need. And now you're not here to make sure they get everything they need. You cannot let that go on very long. Number three, when the cost of in-home care becomes too expensive. So we talked about in-home care. I'm a huge, huge fan of home care. And again, a lot of times someone can extend their stay at home by months or maybe even years just by having a home care provider come in for, you know, 3 or 4 hours, maybe once or twice, 3 times a week. And that's very affordable, very doable. But when your decline calls for 24-hour care, that can be pretty expensive. You're looking at right around $15,000 per month for 24-hour care. And that can get pretty expensive. So maybe it's a financially driven decision that triggers that conversation to move to a senior care community for a lot less money than that. And then last but not least, when the care that you provide is just not enough, why not consider changing your role from the caregiver, that hands-on caregiver, to the care manager or the care advocate, meaning find a great place, a senior care community that can provide that 24-hour hands-on care, and then you can then return back to your traditional role as the loving son or daughter or grandson or spouse, and just manage the care. Speak for your loved one. Make sure that they're receiving everything that they need, and you can do that and return back to your normal or traditional role. Now, if this sounds overwhelming, it is. If you need help finding the right senior care community, I would invite you to contact my firm, Senior Care Consulting, at 913-945-2800. 913-945-2800, or visit online at seniorcareconsulting.com, and we can help you find the right place and the best fit and make that whole process very, very simple. You noticed I didn't say easy, because it's never easy, but we can help you through that process, and that process is very, very simple, and we can really, really help you out. So if you need help, give us a call. All right, I'm your host, Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here for Senior Care Live.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.